Well, welcome back to Carolina Focus. Carolina Focus is heard on Newstalk 1110, 99.3 WBT, Mix 107.9, 610 Sports Radio WFNZ, also available as a podcast at WBT.com. Along with Sharon Thorsland, I'm Ed Billick. Let's continue the discussion that Sharon is having with Ramona Holloway, talking about her journey as a caregiver for her mother, who suffered from Alzheimer's before passing away this past summer.
Welcome back to Carolina Focus, everyone. I'm Sharon Thorsland. We are speaking with Ramona Holloway, and she is telling us all about her experience as a caregiver for her mother, who suffered from Alzheimer's for many years before passing away this summer. Ramona, before the break, you were just telling us about the signs that really you were sort of in denial about realizing that your mother possibly had Alzheimer's or some form of dementia.
Is it almost easier to ignore things like that? Does it make you, I mean, as a caregiver and somebody so close to a, you know, your mom or any family member like that, is it sort of like easier to put on the blinders and not face reality?
Denial in my case was an unhealthy crutch, but it was all I could do at that time because I was just projecting my grandfather's demise on my mom and thinking, eesh, I can't, no way. And the funny part is that some people don't know that with many dementia patients, the pleasantries remain. So I would tell people that things were getting weird with mom, and they'd be like, doesn't seem like anything's wrong because,
really?
Hi, how are you? I'm hanging in there. I'm hanging tough. Like, she had things that she would always say.
Okay.
And then when she asked, how are you? And you started going into your thing and she could just kind of go along and listen to you. Oh, isn't that wonderful? People didn't get it the way the up-close caregiver could get it. And then even later on, like one time I had mom evaluated for some physical therapy and occupational therapy and speech therapy. And when the nurse showed up for the evaluation, the showboating. I mean, it was amazing. It was like, I swear to you, she couldn't do that yesterday. I swear. But she's sashaying across the room and she had lost her languages. She could no longer speak French and Spanish, even though she taught them many years. The nurse shows up and she's speaking French. She's speaking Spanish. She wouldn't even stop speaking Spanish. I think it's because she thought the Filipino nurse was Latina, but that's a whole nother story. People with dementia, very inappropriate, and you just can't stop them. But thankfully, this woman understood. She's like, I'm not Spanish. It was like, she's going with it. There's nothing we can do. Dementia does itself. But she performed like her toileting and all these things that I was having problems with.
Okay.
She was like, watch, this is how she does it. And then she pretends to be me. Let's come on over in here. All right, let's pull our pants down. She completely mocked me. And the nurse is like, is she being you? And I'm like, yeah, she is. But then 10 minutes later, she couldn't do any of that.
Wow.
But the brain could perform. So imagine if you are my sister coming home for Christmas, for Thanksgiving, and I say, Mom's getting really bad. And Mom is just pleasantries and, oh, let me show you what your sister does.
Okay.
And you're like, wow.
That's got to be, I can't even imagine how difficult that must be, how isolating that must make you feel as a caregiver.
Dementia can be such a toxic, can I say the B word on your show? Just toxic, because their brain has a completely different reality. And it can do things sometimes and not do things other times. And the things that it can't do are so weird. And if you're living with someone, you're a caregiver of someone with dementia, whether you're in the same home or in the home with them for 5 minutes, if they get a hold of your phone or your keys or you name it, that thing could wind up anywhere.
How do you stay sane yourself as a caregiver when you're dealing with somebody with Alzheimer's and it, you know, progresses, but you have these good days, these good minutes, these bad minutes? How do you keep yourself from, you know, just going crazy?
First of all, the Alzheimer's Association has so many support services for caregivers, and I'm hoping that we can, as we search for a cure, also provide more support to caregivers. Over 300,000 unpaid caregivers in North Carolina caring for people with Alzheimer's and other forms of dementia alone.
Wow.
Alone. Over 300,000 in this state. There needs to be support. If you are someone who knows someone, please don't with the, let me know if you need anything. How about, do you need anything from the store? I'm on my way. How about, I'm picking up some chicken pot pie, or I made some extra chicken pot pie. Let me drop some off. I mean, specific.
Okay.
If there's an opportunity to relieve that person, give the caregiver a date and time. And also to find out how you can support caregivers, go to the Alzheimer's Association's website. There are services, and also we can connect you with support groups. They are absolutely necessary. That support to find someone else who's already been through it, mm-hmm. or someone who gets it because they're going through it. Sometimes it's just a good hack. Like, I could get my mom to walk to music when she forgot how to walk.
Wow.
We could march in like a choir. Music was amazing. We could do amazing things with music because mom never forgot music. But these are little tips that you get to share, whether it's about how to keep a diaper on, someone who's forgotten how to diaper, or, you know, how to use the puppy pee-pee pads as bed pads because they're cheaper than the bed pads that they sell for adults. I mean, just all kinds of things that you learn from getting caregiver support. But if you are the caregiver, what helped to keep me sane, Sharon, I called somebody every day. Part of my self-care was reaching out to someone and talking to them every single day. That was my discipline, especially during the pandemic when we weren't allowing people to come in. We weren't really going out. Even after we were allowed to go back, and I wound up taking mom to daycare and wound up taking mom eventually to a family care home, I reached out because caregiving, especially dementia care, can be painfully lonely.
Yeah.
It's even hard to carry on a conversation in those end stages when, uh-oh, where are you going? Where are you going? Are you going to wander off?
Yeah.
Are you going to make a mess somewhere that's going to be really tough to clean up? Are you going to hurt yourself? Are you going to accidentally hurt the dog? I know you don't mean to, but your brain.
Wow. That's, I can't imagine how difficult just going through that, especially when it's your mother. How you found a lot of outlet in your work and in your social media posts. What made you want to share what you were going through and put these moments out there with your mom and stuff on social media and TikTok and everything?
Just like everybody else in 2020, I was sitting at home. But I was locked in with a young woman from mom's church who was a live-in helper and my mom with dementia. And my job has been, for the past 20 years, sharing my life in Charlotte with the people of Charlotte. That was my life. So here were my choices. I could either put out the pain, and then I would be the person also consuming it. As other people on social media consumed it, I would be the one responding to the comments and seeing the comments. I could do that, or I could find the joy in it. I could find the humor in it. Mm-hmm. I could use the humor to educate about dementia. Okay. I could show you what's going on with America's favorite cougar. And you could see where that personality went, because in my mom's dementia, if you're going to have dementia, let it be like my mom's. She thought she was young, which is, I believe, one of the reasons why she didn't believe I was her daughter. I was too old.
Okay.
She thought she was hot. She stopped wearing a bra because she was too firm for that. She thought she was rich, which is why she had me as her dog poop picker-upper and personal stylist. You know, she had she had people. She had a driver. She had a cook. And she thought
created
she was super popular.
World.
Yeah, okay. In her world, it was like all the men loved her.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't they? One evening, when I was doing her hair, I would roll her hair up at night and we would listen to oldies. That's how we connected before bedtime. It would help her kind of calm down, and me too. She told me not to make her hair so nice because she was concerned about the marriages in our neighborhood. I was like, really? She was like, yeah, just don't. Because Barry kept saying hi to her.
Oh my goodness.
She didn't want to do that to his poor wife, Janice. You know, over there, every time she walks out, hi, Wheezy. Was like, that's Barry. He's married. He lives across the street. He's not some stalker showing up waiting for you to walk the dog so he can get a look at you. But in her mind, all the men in the neighborhood, God, please, ugly me up. The attention is not good for me and their poor wives. How are they going to handle it?
Oh, my goodness. It is. I can see, obviously, the humor and all this stuff that you're putting out there. How much was it therapeutic for you to put this
Absolutely.
Stuff out on social media? And the response, what kind of response did you get from your listeners?
My listeners and the kids of TikTok made my mom go viral. Wheezy had at one point, one of her videos had 4 million views.
Oh my gosh.
Another video had 2 million.
Wow.
And then 1 million.
Wow.
Even to this day, when Will Smith and his wife Jada Pinkett Smith were sharing stuff about their marriage and people started getting a little tired of hearing about the weirdness in their marriage, someone used a picture of my mom, a still shot of my mom and my Aunt Nell from one of mom's videos to say, the aunties have spoken, Will and Jada, you've overshared.
Really?
They use that picture as a meme all over Twitter.
Oh, my gosh.
To this day.
Oh,
and
wow.
That brings me joy.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
she's not forgotten.
Yeah.
It brings me joy knowing that at our toughest time, we were still able to be a part of the joy.
Wow.
What a gift.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
I get to look back at all those videos mm-hmm. where we found the joy and the sass. And instead of reliving the pain, I, as someone who watches those videos, mm-hmm. I get to relive the best parts of being her caregiver. And to the other caregivers, I get it. It's really, really, really hard. And people who haven't walked this path probably don't get it. But there are people who do. People came to my rescue. People who I didn't even know came to my rescue with encouragement. They came to my rescue with masks. There was a woman in Gastonia named Jan who sewed masks for us and dropped them off at my house. It was a mask fairy. There were former co-workers, one of our former co-workers, Sandra Zoki, mm-hmm. she relieved me for an afternoon. I was like, I can't get just anybody to sit with mom. You know, changing adult diapers is not for everybody. She's like, I went through it with my grandma. Wow. And there are people out there who don't want anything in return, but they know where you've been.
Right.
And they show up as angels. So I hope you not only seek out those angels, get vulnerable with the people you love about what you're going through and give them an opportunity to help. And if you're not connecting with people who are helping, please reach out even more to these support groups, to the churches, to your women's groups, to your friends, to your family, to your former coworkers, and let them know, because there is help out there. More support than we understand is there. You have to ask for it. Nobody knows you're in trouble unless
right,
you scream.
Right, right.
And you also have to be willing to accept it.
Okay. What is the, I mean, obviously you just gave people lots of advice right there. What's the most important thing that you can tell somebody who finds themselves in this situation? What's the most important thing, if there is just one thing, or what do people need to know? What do you feel like is something really important?
The one thing that was more important than all the others was learning how to separate the disease from the person I love.
Okay.
So when Sassy Wheezy was really Nasty Wheezy, because that happens too. There are some caregivers in dementia care who have had to deal with loved ones who become violent, very verbally abusive, and then you have the heartbreak of someone who you've known your entire life. You grew inside of their womb. They were there holding you when you came out of the womb, and they've forgotten who you are. That's some big heartbreak. So separating the person from the disease and saying, that's just dementia, I don't have to argue with it.
Okay.
It has its own truth, not the way I see it, different reality, that's just the disease.
Okay.
My well mother, my well father, my healthy parent, spouse, sister, brother would never say those things to me.
Okay.
That brain is going haywire. Where is it coming from? Who knows? For the same reason that the remote is under the kitchen sink, they're saying that you're stealing from them, or you don't love them, or they hate you. They don't want you around.
So that's, I'm sure, not easy to do.
But it's not easy.
A crucial thing to do.
But it is a sanity saver.
Okay. Now, before we started recording this interview, you were telling me that your mother passed away earlier this year, and instead of having, you're going to have the pain of her passing and the void, because this was such an all-encompassing thing, taking care of your mom, but you don't have to suffer so much, and you find that by working and having a purpose.
Right.
Your purpose with working with the Alzheimer's Association and getting the word out there, how special is that to you, and how much does that mean to you? How important is that to you to be able to do that?
It's everything. It is absolutely everything. Because one of the things that has kept me going is knowing that I can be of assistance to the people who are coming behind me. Just like those people who walked before me have pulled me along and given me insight and encouragement. They've prayed for me. They have prepared meals for me. They listened more than anything. They listened to me and loved me and mom through it. There, I can be there for the person who just found out. This is how I handled that.
Okay.
And that part gives me so much purpose and makes me feel like what I went through has value for other people. And it's going to help them the way somebody helped me. Circle of life. You know, insert corny Disney song, but that's what it is.
Yeah.
Feeling like I can make a difference for someone who's where I was 7 years ago.
Okay. This month being Alzheimer's Awareness Month, but also focusing on recognizing caregivers. I mean, what does that mean to you to know that it's not just, this is National Caregivers Month? So, I mean, they're actually doing things. They're trying to raise this awareness and not just focusing on the disease itself and the research, but on the people who are just involved with this at the absolute, you know, the absolute most and just the hands-on the most. What does that mean to have this happen? I mean, to have this recognition as a caregiver, what does this mean? And to bring awareness to it as well.
To recognize caregivers is everything. Because I also believe that one of the reasons why I have this microphone, why you asked me to talk, is because why not me? I have a platform that I can use. And there are so many people caregiving who are simply invisible. And you don't recognize what they're going through because we don't hear about it. At the same time, moms were trying to figure out how to Zoom to their job. Mm-hmm. While their kid was remote learning, you had caregivers trying to figure out meals and trying to care for a loved one who couldn't be left alone,
right,
while they were doing their job. And you couldn't get, a lot of these people couldn't afford a person to come
sure.
in.
Yeah.
You know, thankfully, I could afford to have help. Early on, I had a live-in helper. Mm-hmm. But there are so many people in situations where it's like, where's that money coming from?
Absolutely.
So the same challenge that a mom with a four-year-old had, mm-hmm. those caregivers were having those challenges too. So if we can take a month out of the year to say, what can we do? How can we do this better? What does that lady next door who's caring for her husband need? Let me ask.
Yeah.
Let me offer. Let me follow up. Yeah, let's do that.
What is next for Ramona Holloway?
For me going forward, one of my dreams is to open up a family care home.
Really?
I have a little house in Belmont that I bought. And I am trying to make it a place where people can get memory care. Because there isn't a lot of what I had in Huntersville for my mom.
Okay.
We don't have that in Gaston County. So what I needed is what I want to provide.
Wow.
So I'm meeting a lot of people who are saying, hey, I'll help you with that. How can I help you with that? Looking for more people to say, hey, how can I help you with that? But the house is a cute little house, needs some upfitting. But in North Carolina, you can have a family care home in any neighborhood for 6 people or fewer.
Okay.
And the little care home where my mom was before she passed was amazing. And because it's so tiny, some of the big facility problems that families experience during lockdown
don't happen. Okay.
When you have these smaller places of care. And a family can be as involved as they want to be. Like, I got to know that person's son and that person's sister, you know, when my mom was in memory care. Oh, that's Mama Sita's family, you know. Families can be as involved as they want to be or as hands-off as they need to be at any given time. And once I get that going, I want some of the money we make to go to respite care, to provide people who are still doing it in their homes with a break.
Okay.
A break. 4 hours meant so much to me.
Wow. And people just don't get it, like you said.
No.
I'm sure they just don't get
but,
it.
But, you know, $20 an hour was what, you know, anywhere from 12, if they don't need really anything but a little, somebody to keep their eye on them, to diaper changing, it was anywhere from $12 to $20 an hour to leave my house.
Wow. To have that that family care home, would that be like almost like a memorial and a way to honor your mom at
Absolutely.
The same time?
Absolutely. The legacy.
Yeah. Wow. That's amazing, Ramona. Thank you so much for sharing
your
story.
Thank you so much for asking
us today.
Me.
I wish you well with your family care home. I hope that gets off the ground soon, and what a wonderful way to remember and recognize and memorialize your mother's legacy.
Thank you.